Well, good evening. Good to be back in God's house. I'm glad all of you are here. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13 this evening. Had a wonderful time at the nursing home today, and I'm glad to see all the folks that came out and went with us. Don't forget, Wednesday night, we're going to have a Thanksgiving service praising the Lord for what He's done for us this year or in our life. As I'm sure we all have a lot of things we'd like to be thankful for. Really be in prayer for those that are traveling during this year season, that they'll enjoy the time with their families and have a safe time, good fellowship, and a godly time. Good to see all of the signers back there. Y'all pray for them as they learn in sign language. If you're on across somebody that is deaf, cannot hear, and speaks through sign, tell them about the ministry. Tell them about the scripture. And anybody's welcome to join over there. So if you look over and say, no, that's something I'd like to get involved in, go ahead and do it. Get over there and just sit with Sister Nancy, and maybe down the road a little bit, the Lord will add a little bit more kind of a private learning time with them so that we can get that thing efficient. It looks like they're doing a really good job. Don't forget your dishes over there. That's something that needs to get out of the fellowship hall for someone else claims it. You leave it too long and somebody comes by and they get it. I can't track it down. So get it while it's available. It'll be a blessing to you. Another item that you can keep at your house. Tonight we're going to talk about love. God's love. God's love. In Hebrews, 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Love. I'm going to tell you, we need to work at this here, God's love. Not our love, what we perceive it to be, but the love of God. My wife has, for some years, had this little booklet. It's called If by Amy Carmichael. If you ever find it, you'd love it and enjoy it. It's a really good little booklet. It's called If. Really short thing. I don't know. About thicker than most of our wallets there, but it's not that much to read, but it has just little things in there like this. If I can hurt another by speaking faithfully without much preparation of spirit, and without hurting myself far more than I hurt that other, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If I can enjoy a joke at the expense of another, if I can in any way slight another in conversation or even in thought, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If I can easily discuss the shortcomings and sins of any, if I can speak in a casual way even of a child's misdoing, then I know nothing of Calvary love. Sometimes we see kids do some things that are kind of cute, and we kind of laugh at them. But some things they do, they need corrected in instead of laughed at. And we don't do it If I fear to hold another to the highest goal because it is much easier to avoid doing so, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If I take offense easily, if I am content to continue in cool unfriendliness, though friendship is be possible, then I know nothing of Calvary love. So just little things like that in this book, all through there. If I refuse to be a corn of wheat that falls into the ground and dies, is separated from all in which it lived before, then I know nothing of Calvary love. So if you find this little pamphlet, this little booklet, it would be a treasure to you. It's small little quotes of ifs. In 1 Corinthians, if you flip back over to chapter 1, I know we're going through 1 Corinthians in the Bible on Wednesday nights, so I won't spend a whole lot of time going through this. But we're talking about God's love. And it says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. Talk about God's love. If I could preach greater than anybody in the world could preach, if I could study the Scriptures deeper and broader than anybody else could study the Scriptures, if I had the faith to move mountains from here to there, if I would say, here's my body and be burned, if I could speak with the tongues of angels and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. So if we have all of these things and we have not the love of God, dear friend, we're wasting our time. It's just the love of God that's going to keep our church involved with the lost. It's the love of God that's going to drive us as His children to our knees in compassion for others and for the lost. It's not in our love. We didn't love God first. He first loved us. We didn't seek after God. He sought after us. And after He saved us, He instilled into us the ability and the capability to love as He loves. Go over to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 10. First thing I want you to notice about love is this. It's God's love to us. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So when you think about God's love, His love first is directed to me, to you as an individual. And so if it's directed to me and it's my propitiation And it's given to me so that I can understand love as God loves. Then what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the love that has been given to us? In this life which we live in, dear friend, I'm telling you, we have so many takers and not near about enough givers. For us to succeed in our Christian walk, we need to give of that which has been given to us freely. Listen, I can't just bottle in all this love that has been given to me. I can't just take it all in, and do absolutely nothing with it. Unless I allow the love of God to work through me and in my life and in the community which I live in, around those other ones that I am involved in, they stand not a chance. None whatsoever. Because if I can move a mountain, if I say, here, burn me at the stake, and I have not love, they're not moved. They're not concerned. So it's the love of God that's to me. And I ask you tonight, church, has there ever been a time in your life where you realize that a God in heaven who created the heavens and the earth and everything therein, including me and you, gave Himself because of love that you and I might experience eternal life through Christ Jesus? Has there ever been that moment in your life where you said, I need Christ? If not, why not? The opportunity is there before you to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Flip over to Jude verse 21, a few pages towards the end of the Bible. So God's love to me, then I want you to notice this, it's God's love about me. Verse 21 of the book of Jude. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So we got a choice in this matter. Keep yourselves in the love. You know what He said to the church in the book of Revelation? I have somewhat against you. Why? Because you have left your first love. They chose to. Now, church, to be honest with you, life is rough. Life is difficult. Relationships can become strained. But we have to make choices. We have to make conscious choices to stay in the love of God no matter what no one else does to me. It's my responsibility, Brother Graham, to stay in the love of God no matter where your life leads you. Amen. Justin, you may choose tomorrow to leave out those doors and never ever come back into the house of God again. I pray that it never will happen. That's a choice that you will make. But for me, I have to choose to remain in the love of God. My wife and I may have an argument this evening when we get home. Very possible. 6 kids, 13 dogs, chickens, 3 goats, 3 dogs. Something eating my chickens now. I'm missing a goat, I'm missing a duck and a chicken. So a strain on my life. You know, my animal's being taken. But doesn't matter whether or not we have an argument tonight. My children still have to make a choice to stay in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You know what our protection is from this world? From the heartache and the pain? Knowing that God loves me. Knowing that God loves me more than my children could ever love me. More than I could ever love my wife. God loves her more than I could ever love her. So I keep myself in the love of God. Well, how? Because it's been directed to me personally. Herein is love. That God became my propitiation. Mine, personal, to me. Not to my grandma and grandma by themselves, and I just get to drain off the goodness that's been blessed with them. No, to me as an individual, the love of God has been presented and given to me. That makes me special. Special in the eyes of God. Makes you special. I don't know about you, but I thank God that He's saved multitudes in the Scripture. But when I get around to Scriptures like when He called Zacchaeus down out of that tree, He called him by name and He talked to him. It was personal. Well, that thrills me. That excites me that He knows me by name. So God's love to me. And then I've got to keep God's love myself in God's love. Have the love of God around me. Church, I don't know about you, but we live in such a negative hour. I mean, society is bad. I was reading an article the other day, and this was the suggestion of the person, and it made good sense. Two charms and a wish. Have you ever heard that statement? When you're critiquing someone and you wish something was different, they ask you personally, they say, "Hey, will you check this paper and see how I'm doing?" Isn't it awful easy to find the bad stuff in there? Well, you didn't put a comma there. Why you got an exclamation point here? Why didn't you say this or that? So you give them two charms for everything you wish that they would have corrected. Not making much sense. I see the look on your face. Should have brought the ark. Let me get us a come here, kid. Brother, come here. Okay. Briley got all excited about chickens. Loves them. Got in the chicken egg selling business. Collected money before she had eggs. She was counting her eggs before they hatched, or whatever you want to call it. Last week, Briley got a little excited about other things. And for 3 days, she forgot to check the chicken eggs. Three days. Which is okay. They'll be fine. It ain't going to hurt them. Matter of fact, it's much better when you pull them out and not even put them in the refrigerator. Keep them on the counter. But not like when you get them from Aldi, Publix. So, she didn't do it right. I wanted to do it right. So this is what I do. This is what the article was suggesting. Instead of saying, "Brother, why didn't you do that and do it right, and you know these are your eggs?" "Brother, I sure do appreciate you getting up in the morning with me before I go to work and help me feed the chickens. That's really sweet of you, baby. Really, that's one charm. One charm. Riley, thank you for turning that water on for me up there and watering the chickens. You know, honey, it'd be better if we checked the eggs every day. We can get them collected up." Two charms, one wish that I wish you'd have done something else. When we're dealing with people, thank you, baby, we can't change them. We can't. The Holy Spirit of God can. When we're dealing with folks, I am here to tell you, you get more flies with honey or sugar than you do with lemons. Is that what it is? Vinegar. You get more flies with honey than you do vinegar. You get more results with offering two charms and a wish than you do just, man, I wish you'd change. I wish you'd just do right. Well, you know, sometimes I'm sure God sits up in heaven, looks down thinking, man, after all I've done for him, can he not be right? I keep myself in the love of God. How? By the relationships I keep. By the people I hang around with. By the material I keep in front of me. By the atmosphere that I create. Well, we can create some bad atmosphere sometimes, can't we? Somebody rub us wrong somewhere else, we come home and we've rubbed everybody else wrong and they haven't done anything. I mean, we have a bad day at work or a bad day with another friend, and then before you know it, everybody's against me. Well, that's not necessarily the truth. So what happens? We keep ourselves in the love of God. Why? Because it was directed to me personally. See, the big picture is God so loved the world that He gave His Son. The little picture is the whosoever. And I was one of those whosoevers. Individually. So I keep myself in the love of God. Flip over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. So the love of God was directed to me. I keep things around me, about me, in the love of God. Romans chapter 5, verse number 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. So it's directed to me. All the things around me are affiliated with the love of God. And I understand a principle that the love of God is in me. So therefore, what is my excuse for not loving this world like God loves the world? We stand wanting, don't we? Three little small reasons why we can have the love of God toward this world. It's tuning. I keep the things purposely. It's purpose. Keep yourselves in the love. It's a purpose choice. You do it. And how do I do it? Because the love of God's in me. In me. I'll be honest with you, church. Life can sure roll you up and hang you dry, can't it? Circumstances that you have no idea how in the world you wound up in them. You know, how did I get here? How did this happen to me? What is going on right now? So life rolls you around, shakes you up, tries to destroy you. On top of the devil itself. The thief cometh to kill, steal, destroy. He doesn't like it. It's a false lie that we've bought into. That this world is our friend. To be friends with this world is to be enemy of God. This world has a draw to it, dear friend, that wants to pull us away from the love of God. God Himself, robed in the flesh, became man, to shed His love to me. Then give me good godly friends and brothers and sisters in Christ like you. I don't understand what in the world somebody desires being around carnality more than around God's people. But they're there. They would much rather pack up and be gone around away from the things of God as quick as they can. Oh, I love it. When I miss church, I have to go somewhere, I miss something. Man, I said, wow, I got to be around God's people. I got to be around people who love God, love the things of God. I want to be around people who has the same purpose and drive that I have. The broad way is leading to destruction. I want to be on that narrow road with friends that are sticking close and helping me along and edifying and provoking. I want to always remember the love of God's in me. I'm going to tell you, dear friends, if the love of God is in us, this little dust balls and dirts, piles of dirts that we are, how do we ever contain the love of God in us? It should just be radiant. Shed abroad. That's what the Scripture said. I'm just simple. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Just shed abroad God's love. And if we can do great and mighty things just so people see us and see what we can do and have not the love of God, oh, we profit nothing. To me, what that's saying is, I'm doing it in my own power, my own might, my own strength, and my praise is down here. That's my reward. And I'll tell you, church, there's a greater reward. And that's when the Lord God Himself says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here's your crown for your faithfulness, for your service, for your love, for showing this world that I love them through you. And if we can't do that, we need to get back to the foot of the cross of Calvary. Because when we get around the cross of Calvary, we get back to where we were when we got saved, we first trusted Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, we realized real quick, we wasn't nothing. And we're still not. It's only by the grace of God we are what we are. God's love. That's what's important. That's what's going to make a difference. And we need to show it. We need to actively, purposely show it to those around us, those we're involved with, those we don't know, those that we don't even know, those that we don't even recognize. Listen, a kind, gentle word to a stranger may make their day. May make their day. Sister Ellen brought me something to read this morning. I read it and gave it to Brother Scott. It's about a preacher and his son that used to go out, pass out tracts. Every Sunday evening after church, they'd go out and pass out gospel tracts around the neighborhood. Well, it was cold deep in the winter and it was raining. They ate lunch and little boy went upstairs, got himself dressed, and come down. And his dad, the pastor, said, where are you going, son? He said, well, Dad, we'll do what we always do. He said, Dad, son, it's raining cold out there. And he looked at his dad and he said, Dad, people don't go to hell when it's raining and cold. And son, we can't go out there. We'll be sick as dogs. And he said, Dad, I really want to do it. So the little boy went on by himself. The dad stayed home. He said, a man of God? Well, we get dressed just like you. Amen. We live in a body of flesh just like you. Amen. We make mistakes regularly. Little boy went out, raining cold. Last track he had in his hand, he went to one door. Want to get that last one out. I need a doorbell knock. For just this one last track. Knock, waited about 10 minutes, knock. Knock some more. In a minute, here comes a little old lady to the door. Said, ma'am, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. And this is my last track of the day. And he gave it to her. Left. Sunday morning, preacher asked if anybody, I'm trying to remember the story correctly, if anybody would like to say a word to the church, or if anybody has something they'd say. And the little old lady stood up in the back and said, you don't know me. My husband passed away. I got a rope and I was upstairs. Got me a chair. And I was about to hang myself. There was a knock at the door. And I waited and I thought it'd go away. And she said it seemed like the knock kept getting louder and kept getting louder and kept getting louder. Finally, she got down the chair and came downstairs. And she said, I'm a child of the king today because this young man cared enough to show me the love of God. This morning there was a couple that came to church that was a direct result of us in our outreach yesterday. They didn't get saved, but what if we hadn't went yesterday? It's well worth it. It's well worth it, church. And if I could, with all that's within me, encourage you to become one that will be concerned with somebody else's soul, where there is an eternity, it will bring joy into your heart and your life. Because that's what matters. The main thing of a local New Testament church is to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. And we've got the love of God been directed to us. We have godly activities that keep the love of God around us. And the love of God is in us. Church, we have to be soul conscious. Let's stand to our feet.